G'day everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto Catch-Up. This is the Tapping Into Crypto podcast.
It is. Mate, good to have you back.
Mate, I just want to apologize to all the listeners who had to endure a whole episode of Pav talking last week, just because I know what it's like. I work with a guy and it's pretty awful.
Well, why don't you tell everyone why you weren't here?
Well,
rumor has it you literally just buried in beer bottles.
No, I was severely under the weather with what the doctor calls the man flu.
Checks out.
Potentially self-inflicted.
Hey, we've all been there.
We have. And I'm getting older these days, so it doesn't get any easier.
What are you, like 22?
27 in
baby face.
In a couple of months.
Proud of that.
Mate, I think I'll turn 27 on the Bitcoin halving day. But anyway, we'll get into that in a sec. I just want to call it out that...
Hang on, is that for real?
Yeah, 17th of April.
Jesus.
So make sure everyone, all the fans of the show, send me some gifts. I'll put the ad in the show notes. But yeah, it was our worst performing episode to date.
Oh, really?
By a number of metrics, the main one being my mum's opinion. So so I just wanted to call that out there. Anyway, we're back to our usual
chit-chat.
Usual schedule. So yeah, let's get into it. So like I said, we got the Bitcoin halving coming up in just over 2 weeks. So
yeah, 17 days.
Yeah, excitement is building. I guess we've not had massive movements in price. With Bitcoin, it's kind of teetering around that 69, 70K mark. So I guess, what do you make of this, Pav? Where are we heading next?
Oh, it's great things. I think we've got the highest monthly close on record. We've put in new all-time highs. March was a big month for crypto. We've put in some pretty good structure, I think, in recent times. I was expecting for this month to be a continuation month, only because we have continued to close above previous monthly highs. So just essentially setting a data point that people are happy to pay premiums, like whatever they were spending last month. We've seen each month it just grow and grow and grow. And I think that's been a lot to do with ETF flows, obviously, which have been pretty present until recent times, where we did see a bit of a sort of more outflows and inflows. Most of the products we're still buying, as you can sort of see on this chart here. We've got the ETF flow tables up. Most of the other products in the black, even when we did have the sell-offs, but it's just been the grayscale product. It's just been one that's completely on the persistent outflow. And that's got a lot to do with just their fee structure and potentially investors looking to get out while they can to repurchase maybe some of the other ETFs, which are a bit cheaper for long-term holding and short-term holding. So read into that what we will. But for me, I think for this month to sort of start strong and keep going strong, we want to see this sort of sell-off that we're seeing now get bought up. And I think we're starting to see that in the early hours of this morning, which today is Tuesday. So I think on the back end of this week, we'll know if this movement we're seeing is positive or negative. It's pretty on the fence wording, but I kind of like what I'm seeing in the sense that we're seeing previous week levels hit early in the month and we're already starting to bounce off of them, close higher, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I'm kind of seeing this month to be another green month until I'm proven otherwise. And we've had a lot of the macro side of things sorted out. Even this dip that we saw over the long weekend, it was pretty intense, but we still saw much, much less of a sell-off than we did in March. We had that big sell-off that we talked about, I think, before 2 weeks ago. So that was the big move when we went from 74 all the way to 60K. That was the biggie. So it's still a drop in the ocean compared to that. And we're you know, structurally above a lot of these levels that I'd be concerned about if we weren't. So yeah, I'm more positive than negative at the moment. On another front, we've got some macro data that came out last night. I won't bore everyone with it, but it is essentially just showing in the US specifically that conditions are improving, businesses are doing better, they're expanding, showing growth. So I think the big one this month will be GDP data when it does land towards the middle of this month. We might see the markets rally off of strong growth figures in the US again. But yeah, other than that, it's a big month. Halving.
Wow, mate.
Everything's just looking better.
Take a breath.
I will take a breath now. But yeah, that's me. That's me done.
I mean, just on the halving quickly before we move on. So we mentioned it's happening in just over 2 weeks' time, you know, approximately. What do we think? Because typically in previous halving years, we've seen like a little bit of a sell-off, I guess, a sell the news events before we do have that higher run-up. Do you think we're headed for the same? Like there's so much anticipation for the halving. When the day hits, are we going to have that slight dip before we start to run up again?
Who knows? Like there's some rumors that Morgan Stanley is they're going to launch an ETF in the coming days as well. So I mean, if there's more and more and more just of this institutional buying power, I can't see this cycle being the same as previous ones. Like we just can't. And that's not to say that we couldn't dip, but we might just dip differently. Like we might, for example, head to 80 or 100K before we see maybe some of these big players start to trim or start slow down their buying pressure.
Yeah.
And then we might see the market recede a couple of points. But I mean, right now, you're just going to play it as you see it. And right now, it just looks like it wants to keep pushing higher.
That's good.
A halving like we've not known it, maybe. Like that's, I mean, we would have already expected a pullback in Q1, which we didn't see. Like we talked about that at the start of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we can't really liken this to previous cycles, I feel, too much, which isn't a bad thing. That's my take.
Great take. Let's move on. Let's move on to the top movers for this week.
What do we got? We got a big one. Core.
Yeah, I mean, Core. I hadn't heard about this until we were, you know, doing the research for this podcast.
Yeah.
Do you know much about Core?
Only as of today, and I'm actually pretty impressed. Like, I had no idea this existed in the top 50, but like, I've been raving since I think I catch up with Investified that a new thing we might see is products building on Bitcoin, just because Bitcoin can have that additional use case due to its Taproot upgrade. So we might see a layer two network start to build on top of Bitcoin, and there'd be some sort of Bitcoin DeFi narrative.
Yep.
And Core is, to a degree, that it's building on the Ethereum chain, but using Bitcoin as well as an ongoing basis to build on. So yeah,
we did do a report about, you know, projects building on Bitcoin and that being a big narrative in the upcoming cycle. So that was on SwiftDex Learn, so you can go check that out.
Yep.
Basically, what we're saying is that there's going to be lots of new projects coming to Bitcoin, and that's going to be not only a narrative that boosts Bitcoin, but there might be an opportunity to, you know, look at some of these projects because they'll be like small caps and things like that. The way like it is, it's essentially like utilizing the decentralization, the security of the Bitcoin network, and then leveraging that to launch your own project, kind of similar to Ethereum.
To put it exactly similar to what you just said, imagine if you've been around long enough, the DeFi summer we saw with Ethereum, what if we got that exact same narrative on Bitcoin? And the market loves when things are similar. Like we always see, like with layer ones, we always talk about it, right? Like you always get your DEX, like your decentralized exchange, you get your yield farm. And there's a good example really on the screen right now. We've got Mantle and Pendle. So Mantle being a layer one on Ethereum, Pendle being the yield farm. You know, one goes, the other goes. So I wouldn't be surprised, again, like we've seen Bitcoin, the parent coin, go for so long now, you start to see all these applications built on top of Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to see some of that love as well, I would expect.
Yep.
So that's a good one to point out too.
Absolutely. So what else are we seeing? I'm seeing Sui. I know that's one we've talked about a lot. It's our predictions episode at the start of the year.
Yep. I think you can be attributed with that one, Teddy.
I'll take it.
But look, there's a big one I want to point out too. There's a new unlock of vested tokens coming up towards the start of May for Sui. So it is a linear unlock, which means that they don't get dumped all at once. They're slowly trickled out over a 72 and another lot on a 24-month period. But all it means is that there could be just a change to the supply and demand element of Sui. And who knows if even there's some market makers on action right now while the supply is a bit lower, running the price up a bit now too.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep an eye on that. Wouldn't be surprised if that trend continues and we might see something in May. Probably not much. We'll wait and see.
Okay.
But we talked about Pendle and Mantle, BCH, Bitcoin Cash.
Dinosaur.
Bit of a dinosaur, but also a bit of a one that people might not be aware of. It's a fork of Bitcoin. So they basically took the project and chose a different direction, which you are able to do if you get enough people to form consensus. And that's got a halving in a day's time. So by the time this podcast airs, that would have already taken place. So very similar to the Bitcoin halving, just a bit different in terms of what it means for the underlying tokenomics and what it's worth. But just to call out that might be catching a bit of a bid because of that reason. Same way we saw the Litecoin halving, I think last year is a good way to liken it as well.
Mm-hmm.
We got Jupiter, which I think is also could be put alongside WIF, just in the sense that it's the Solana ecosystem tokens going quite well.
Yep.
Solana did have a good week last week, has sold off this week. So we might just be seeing some of the higher beta plays in the Solana ecosystem just showing their hand here. So I'm definitely adding those still to the watch list.
You told me an interesting little thing this morning about Solana phone.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to give the listeners a little bit of intel?
There's not much to tell, really. I don't know if anyone else got the Saga 2 phone, but if you did, you have to nominate a wallet address with that purchase. You might want to go check your wallet because you would have got a nice little airdrop of a meme coin called Wen.
Yep.
Dog in a Cat's World, I think it is. Cat in a Dog's World.
No, Mew.
Mew? Yeah. What did I say?
Wen.
I'll say Wen. Yeah, that's also going well, but that's not the one.
But you were saying that it's basically paid off the phone with one airdrop.
Pretty much.
With plenty more to come and potentially a bull market as well. So
who knows? But yeah, so Solana Saga 2 holders rejoice. Bit of an airdrop there for you.
I think it's all sold out. I missed out on that one.
It's still going, but there's like different editions. There's like the founders, okay, early adopters.
Gotcha.
That's usually how they do it. So you might not see as many airdrops as the early accounts would. But yeah, what else have we got here? I don't think there's too much else to point out.
Yeah, I think we probably covered the most important ones there. So
I think so.
Let's move on. Now, before we jump into some of the news headlines, I wanted to touch on this. There's a bit of a report from Grayscale, actually. So who we're just talking about, they're obviously huge in the ETF space, but they brought out a report where their analysts have basically said that we're currently in the middle stages of a crypto bull run.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting because in previous times, like, you know, the middle stages isn't until like probably 6 to 8 months after the halving, right? But they're calling it now, and we haven't even had the halving this cycle. So basically what they're basing that off is, you know, Bitcoin reaching all-time high,
mm-hmm,
total market cap breaking its
previous
all-time high, and also meme coins garnering TradFi attention. So I guess, yeah, meme coins have been running hot lately.
Yep.
And yeah, getting, you know, not just the retail attention, but also some of those bigger players in the institutional space starting to take a look as well. But yeah, basically, I've got this tweet here from Miles Deutscher, I think you say. He's an Aussie analyst. He broke it down in 4 key dot points, so a bit of a TLDR. So he said, ETFs have exposed the crypto to a new class of investors. Obviously, we've covered that a lot, so no surprises there. On-chain metrics have been super healthy. So what he's referring to there is stablecoin inflows are really strong.
Yep.
DeFi total value locked is also growing. And, you know, there's billions of dollars on a lot of these DeFi protocols. So that's obviously a sign of strength as well. And then he's also made the point that the retail audience isn't fully back yet. And he's based that off YouTube. Well, you know, he hasn't based it. The Grayscale report based it off YouTube subscribers and views, not nearly as high as when it was back in the 2021 cycle.
Yep.
And then also Google Trends, which we've talked about a little bit as well, not being back as high as the 2021. Oh, and the last point here is be prepared for healthy drawdowns and focus on the fundamentals when in doubt.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's important to keep in mind. I think a lot of people get a little bit of FUD when we see, you know, a 20%, 30% drawdown. You know, people start freaking out saying, this is it, this is the bull market over, or, you know, this was a little phantom rally and start selling things.
That's a good one, I like that.
Yeah, phantom rally. So, yeah, I think always keep that in mind and always, yeah, focus on the fundamentals. I know some of the meme coins and even the AI coins that just have AI in the name can be attractive just because of those narratives. But
yep,
at the end of the day, like, fundamentals will always trump all those other things.
Well said. Yeah, because 30% it will be a walk in the park compared to some altcoins going down 50, 60% when Bitcoin, yep, has a sneeze.
Absolutely.
It's what you can look forward to.
Cool. Let's move on to some news headlines.
We've got BlackRock, mate. Some more BlackRock. Go for it.
Yeah, so this is probably the biggest piece of news from the last week, in my opinion. So BlackRock, you know them, you love them. They filed with the SEC for a tokenization fund. So basically, that's a fund on the Ethereum network. You know, it's $100 million in tokenized money launched on a blockchain. So not only are they have they launched a Bitcoin spot ETF, which, you know, allows people to access Bitcoin via the stock market, they're now getting more integrated with blockchain, with crypto, by launching their own fund on blockchain. Basically, what's his name? Larry Fink, who's the CEO of BlackRock, he's very bullish on all things tokenization and is basically saying, what's this quote here? The next step is the tokenization of financial assets. And that means every stock and every bond will be tokenized.
Yep.
So that's pretty huge. And I guess for Ethereum, that validates a little bit more the fact that BlackRock, yep, are choosing them. I know there's, you know, Solana has a lot of hype around it at the moment, but, mm-hmm, Ethereum has that legacy and that security as well. So I guess a few things to look at on the back of this. So real world assets, cryptocurrencies, they seem to pump off the back of that. I know you talked about Ondo.
Yeah, definitely. Like, not linked in any way, but it seems like a pretty safe, you can understand why Ondo might be catching a bid now, because it's basically doing a similar thing. They're offering,
yeah,
money market returns to crypto style investing. So you can earn that 5.85% of a stable coin. It's backed by the likes of Pantera and Coinbase, yep, as well. Full disclosure, I do have some. But
pump your bags.
I pump my bags pretty much. But no, but it was purely just based off of this. Like, I saw this and the charts also look quite good for Ondo as well. And I just thought one plus one equals two. So yeah. I do wonder if now we start to see a bit of a rotation to real world asset projects.
Mm.
and maybe even NFTs as a result of this, because a lot of this tokenization will require the utilization of some clever NFTing, in my opinion. If it's not that, it'll be something along the lines of what BlackRock's doing, which is a token, which, yeah, I mean, and these are very sort of controlled parameters in which people are accessing these products. It's like high net worth individuals. Everyone's pre-screened and pre-approved to be able to buy these tokens to earn this interest. But I mean, the hot take for me from this is, I mean, obviously Larry and the likes, they can only really access US money markets in a very efficient way. You know, by offering a product on a blockchain like this, you basically could offer US yields to any investor, theoretically, around the world. So all of a sudden you've got just ultra globalization of a single company. Yeah. Like, it's just crazy.
Weren't you saying this morning that people are just sending meme coins to this?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's it. It's a good show.
So they're just getting free money from people. I mean, probably useless meme coins, but
well, yeah. It was like that famous, who was it, like with Vitalik's wallet, how they sent like a bunch of Shib to it back in the day, last cycle. It's got a little bit of a taste of that to it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. So I guess before we move on, is tokenizing stocks and bonds, what is the benefit there? Like, why do we need that? How does it change the process of buying, selling, trading, and owning stocks?
It's an interesting one. I think a lot of times people that roll around in stocks, there's a couple of things like T2 is quite annoying, like waiting 2 days for settlement.
Mm.
Tokenization would be like instant settlement of things like stocks.
24-hour trading?
Non-stop trading. There'd always be a market.
I think that's one of the key things that crypto has over the share market.
Totally.
Like something that almost seems like it's a thing of the past.
Yep.
Whereas before crypto, it was like, well, that's just the way.
Yeah, your weekends used to be off, now not anymore. I think bonds, the pretty easy way to sort of explain that one is everyone's familiar with term deposits. Mm-hmm. Imagine a term deposit rate without having to lock up for 30, 60, 90, 6 months. That's another use case. You could just buy and sell into higher rate tokens because that's how banks will give you those yields. They'll go buy treasury bonds. So that's pretty much it. Like, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Real estate as well. Like, we've talked about that a lot before, like buying a fraction of a property or a house and, you know, saying you own.
Even buying a fraction of artwork. Like, you could really do anything with it.
Yep.
It could be a crowdsourced band or boy band out there. Everyone just has a fractionalized NFT of the next.
Sign me up.
Yeah, let's go.
Sign me up, Pavhundar.
Let's go. What else we got? This one's a pretty quick one. Tether is now holding on to $5 billion worth of Bitcoin. This is just on the back of a announcement they made last year that they were going to put 15% of their realized gains into crypto. And that's just, I guess, huge for me. Like, you think about Tether, USDC issuers like that of stable coins, well, they make all their money just based off interest rates, highly profitable companies. They're going to do nothing but continue to make money. So yeah, I just wonder if, you know, we're seeing institutional flows as being one thing that we're tracking right now.
Yeah.
What about all these guys that have been around for so long, just constantly purchasing Bitcoin? You know, what impact will that have? You know, like you talked about, you know, DeFi TVLs going up.
Mm.
What if all major projects just start accumulating Bitcoin, which is likely to happen as well? Like, it's just 500K Bitcoin doesn't sound too unreasonable when you think about how many people out there are trying to secure some. But so these guys bought another close to 9,000 Bitcoin just in the first quarter of this year. So wouldn't be surprised to see that trend continue.
It's remarkable, like, when they release their quarterly earnings reports, it's like this company Tether is earning so much money from their stablecoin.
Ridiculous.
Like, and I'm pretty sure they're not public.
No.
Still private, but
correct.
Interesting. Anyway, the last one, which anyone who's a fan of the AI tokens, this will be a keen story for you to keep an eye on. So we've talked about AI being like, where does AI and crypto really, is it all hype?
Yep.
Is there a place in crypto for AI and where does that kind of sit? So this one's really interesting. So Fetch, Singularity Net and Ocean Protocol are in discussions to merge and become one token. And I'm pretty sure, like, the more I read about it, the more I'm saying it's like pretty much confirmed. So they're meeting in a couple of weeks at Token 49 to basically, I think, confirm it. But at the moment, they're saying they're in discussions, but they're combining to make a token called ASI. So basically, like, if you have any of these tokens on exchange, it'll basically, if you have Fetch and Ocean, it'll be converted to, I think all three will be converted to ASI.
Yeah.
But I think if you're off exchange, you will be able to swap it within like a 30-year period. So there's no real...
These things are actually pretty clean cut in crypto lands.
Yeah.
They do these sort of merges.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the idea or the goal behind this whole merge is to, you know, make one fully decentralized AI platform, which is what we've talked about before, where we've saying you know, in its infancy, doesn't need to be decentralized. I suppose if, you know, you combine three huge projects like this, that probably is a step in the right direction for, you know, in terms of experience, knowledge, and how to do this properly, rather than these, you know, everyone trying to claim the largest piece of the pie. Like, these guys are working together with one common goal.
Especially if they do this similar thing. Like, I haven't read into exactly all of these projects and how they operate, but like, I know Fetch, for example, is building like a platform for AI to be built on top of. So, yeah. Cool move.
So the combined market cap of all these projects is $7.5 billion.
Which would put them as number one by market cap, theoretically. Because I think the leader right now is what? The graph?
I think it's Singularity now. Maybe the graph. But yeah, essentially, we've got a little chart here. So if anyone wants to check out our YouTube channel, you can see kind of what we're looking at. But the three we mentioned, so Ocean, Fetch, and SingularityNet, they're in the top 10 biggest AI projects by market cap and by developer activity as well.
Yep.
So combining, they're essentially the biggest by far.
Excellent.
Yep.
That's a fair bit, hey. A lot happening.
Yeah, we covered a lot. I feel like we...
A lot of ground.
A lot in a short amount of time.
Yep.
But that's what the people want.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for joining us again. And we, look forward to next week, bringing you some good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
If everything keeps doing what it's doing.
I want to give a shout out. I was at my 10-year reunion the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And some bloke came up and he's like, mate, I've been listening to this podcast for, for like literally like a year now. And I had no idea until you brought out the YouTube that you were the host of it.
Yeah.
Like, cool, man. Cool. I was like, do you have any tips or you know, anything you'd like to see more of? He's like, I want you guys to have like a dummy account where you trade and you update us every week on what you're trading.
Can we make that happen?
I think we've talked about doing like a demo kind of competition between, you know, the two of us and seeing who wins. So maybe we can
just have to do it.
Let's just do it.
Yeah, okay. Done.
Cool.
All right.
Look out for that one.
It's just that easy.
Yeah, sorry. I should have brought up to you before. Yeah,
we're just doing it live.
Yeah. Do it live. Alrighty. Thanks, all right, guys. Catch you next week.
See ya.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's show. If you liked it, don't forget to head over to the gram and join us at Tapping Into Crypto. And before we finish up, just a general disclaimer that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. And the opinions on this podcast belong to individuals and are not affiliated with any companies mentioned. Any advice is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek out the help of a licensed financial advisor. We'll talk to you soon.